Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, all. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 20th, 2011, episode 166, sponsored today by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Say that again. Good morning,
Horse World. Good morning, Horse World.
There we go.
Hey, girls, it's Monday.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
Time to ride. Time to ride. It's time to ride.
But it's still Monday.
Time to ride. Time to ride. It's time to ride. Ooh, yeah.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody had a great weekend, a horse-filled weekend. I know you did.
I certainly did. Oh, my gosh. It was a fantastic weekend of taking my little project horse, who is now turning into quite the monster project horse, and taking him up to Flagstaff for the weekend and doing our first cross-country schooling at Coconino.
Well, how'd that go?
You know, it was an interesting weekend. What this actually is, if you have a minute, I'll tell you, I'll explain, Glenn.
Actually, we have about 90 of them, so we're okay.
Okay, good. So the way it works is Coconino is one of the horse trials in my area, and they had a fundraiser for the horse trials, and it's a really great idea. They have all the area eventing instructors go up there and volunteer their time. We pay for the lessons, but the Coconino Foundation actually gets that money. So you pay $200, you get a couple lessons, stabling, all that. It's just a fun weekend. So we went up on Friday, and we had a lesson on Friday and a lesson on Saturday. So Friday was the first day. First of all, you have to think, too, we're in the Coconino Forest. This is woods, Glenn. I mean, complete woods. The cross-country course is notorious for people getting lost because you actually have to gallop through the woods and between trees and everything. Well, if you think about it, the horse that I own and most of the horses that went up there have never seen a forest ever. My horse has been in his entire life on a racetrack and, in a desert. So the idea of a wooded forest was completely new and somewhat blew his mind and the mind of most of the other youngsters on Friday. It was gusting winds, like 30 to 40 mile an hour gusting winds, and we're all on a bunch of babies out in the woods that they've never been to for the first time in this wind trying to jump cross-country fences. And let me just tell you that for some people it did not go well. Nobody fell off, but it was just the horses were just absolutely bananas, my horse included. We spent pretty much the first half hour of the lessons all just trotting and cantering circles, trying to get them a little tired. But it didn't work. They were all crazy. So we did a couple jumps on Friday with the intent of coming back Saturday and getting a lot more done. And, boy, we sure did, Glenn. It was awesome. My horse, who has really never experienced cross-country, the only time he did was when he bucked me off last time we rode. He was awesome. He was awesome. It was such a fun trip. And he jumped everything.
Well, I got to say, I mean, was looking at your pictures there on Facebook, and he's quite a jumper. And talk about not wanting to touch anything. He's clearing them by feet.
which is really good. If you notice in the cross-country picture, which Jen is going to post on Facebook, you notice he's not wearing any back boots because
oh, yeah.
he refuses.
That's true.
Yeah, he really freaks out when he has back boots on. Like you can't.
Well,
even
I gotta tell you,
him.
He wouldn't need front boots either.
That's what I'm telling you, is that you can't put back boots on him, but I don't even worry about it. Because as you can see, he clearly does not want to touch anything. And he's a bit of an over jumper, although throughout the afternoon he did get better about using himself and not jumping too big. But, man, you have got to hang on with this horse. And if anybody doesn't know the backstory of this horse, I'll give you the extremely Reader's Digest version, because everybody goes, oh, he's pretty. Where'd you get him? And I have to tell the story. I'm like, okay, well, he was born the son of a Kentucky Derby winner. He raced. He was unsuccessful. Then he was sold to be part of an illegal gambling ring, where then after that, as match races in the desert, then he was tied to a guy's swing set in his backyard and starved to death almost. And then he was taken by the police department and spent a year and a half in jail, where he got fat but not healthy, and then I adopted him. So this horse has quite the history, and when you tell people that story, they're like, okay, whatever.
he was one of the ones in our really bad ads from Arizona at one point in time, I'm sure of it.
Well, the thing is, yeah, I mean, he was 700 pounds when he was confiscated by the sheriff's department, and he's probably 1,200 now. So you can imagine
that
he
great.
He was one of those horses, yeah, that was just bones. It's funny though, Glenn. After I ride him, he lost probably 100 pounds this weekend. He just loses weight so quick. He's a thoroughbred with also probably some issues with his metabolism, and oh my gosh, he gets tucked up like racehorse fit in a day. But I wanted to send Jennifer this picture, too. I'm going to send it to her in a minute, of him jumping his first ditch. And if you've listened to this show at all, you know that Mama over here has a fear of jumping ditches. Well, I jumped a ditch with him, Glenn. My first ditch.
Yeah, I love the look on your face during that one, too, by the way.
Oh, God. Yeah. So my instructor, Barb Crabo, who was teaching our lesson, just decided to make me the example, and I was the one that went first over everything. Hey, Jamie, go ahead. And what I want you to do is gallop up there and jump that one and then turn around and come back down the hill. We did a combination, Glenn, that, I mean, we didn't do just beginner novice stuff. She had us do novice stuff, and I think I even jumped a training fence. We had to do one where it was jump a log, gallop through the water. As you're midway through the water, make a right turn and start going up the hill where you jump. You take one stride out of the water and then jump a canoe, overturned canoe, wooden canoe, and then go up the hill. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be scary. So we go ahead and we do it. And he does it awesome. And she goes, okay, turn around and gallop back down. I was like, you want me to do what? You want me to come galloping down a hill, jump a canoe, which as they're going over the canoe, that's when they see the water. I'm like, you want me to jump the canoe, land, take half a stride, land in the water, and then make a left turn? And she was like, yeah, do it. And I said, Barb, listen, my dad's here right now, and I'm my husband's here, and I would like to not fall off into the water. If we could just, if you just prevent me from, she goes, Jamie, where's your sense of adventure? Go do it now. So she is the perfect coach for me because, my God, she calls me on all my crap. Jennifer?
Well, that is.
I thought Jennifer was going to say something. Sorry.
I'm just sitting here enjoying the stories.
Haven't you had one of those moments, Jennifer, where you're like, I don't want to do that. This is going to be really bad. Please don't make me. And then you either have an instructor that's like, okay, well, we'll just get past it. Or you have the instructor that's like, do it now.
I never had a we'll skip that instructor ever.
Yeah.
No.
I haven't either.
No.
By God. It must be nice.
Yeah, when I was working for Jane Sleeper, every single day was, oh, my God. That's every day. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, you understand how that feels. So, but it was a very successful weekend. It was a whole lot of fun. We raised a lot of money for the horse trials, and he is currently signed up for in mid-July. He's going to go up and do his first beginner novice horse trial. And of course, Barb, my coach, is like, forget beginner novice, just do novice. Go up a level. He can do it. I'm like, please stop. Let me just start like a normal person would start, okay?
But it looks like his jumping is terrific. I mean, it looks like his jumping's down pat. I don't know about his dressage, but his jumping looks really good.
Well, thanks. He's pretty – I wish I could take credit for it, but he's just quite the natural at it. And what amazed me is that he got a new nickname this weekend because – even through the entire day Saturday, our lesson was 2 hours long, Glenn. And for 5 seconds, that horse did not ever stand still. Okay, so everybody's horses are exhausted. You know, you do your set of jumps, and you come over and you wait, and then everybody else does. My horse, through the entire thing, would not stand still. Walking, jigging, whatever, and then he would have to go jump. And when you're sitting on a horse that is so tense that he won't stop moving around and he's jigging and he's upset, but not upset, that's not quite the word, just wouldn't be calm. And then they're like, okay, go gallop across the cross-country course and jump these. You know, you have expectations as to, oh, my God, he's going to blast off. Well, the horse remained calm. Like the calmest thing he did was jump. It was the non-jumping part where he was crazy. Like, he would not he maintained a gallop to the base of the fence and then jumped the fence and then maintained that exact stride after the fence. And if anybody's jumped cross country or jumped horses at all, you understand that sometimes when you point them at the fence, they bolt towards it or they land and then they run away. And he didn't do any of that. He kept his cool. He kept his calm. But his new nickname is Sharky. Because Sharky. We realized, Sharky, if you've ever watched any of the Nature Channel shows, you'll know that sharks have to keep swimming or they drown. So we decided that Jet, if he stopped, he would drown. Like, he could not stop. He was like a shark. Could not stop swimming or he would die. So, because literally 2 hours of him moving. Just moving his feet, moving around. I mean, people would jump, and I'm over there walking circles, and I'm trying to watch. I'm like, hey, that was really good. Wait, okay, I'm back. Yeah, that was really good. Wait, I got to turn circle. I'm back. Okay, that was a good job.
But, you know, Jennifer's had horses like that, and they're exhausting to be on to ride because you're constantly dealing with the horse. You don't get a break either.
No, I was pretty tired. I'm not going to lie. I was so tired that we got home from the long drive and I went to sleep at probably 8 o'clock. And then yesterday I slept again from 2 until 5 p.m. So I was like, I'm going to take a quick nap. I'm pretty tired. And I came back and did not wake up until dinner time. But, you know, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was totally worth it. And I'm super excited about this horse that has just come so far. And I appreciate you letting me talk about him.
Well, no problem. I mean, it looked like fun. I was anxious to hear how you made out over the weekend. You know, it's always extra pressure when you've got the two most important guys in your life there, too. So, you know, when you got dad and husband, there's double the pressure.
Yeah, that was definitely part of the intimidating thing. But bless my dad's heart, he was walking along, and he followed us the whole time. Chad took all the pictures, and then we're pretty much done, and we're at the water jump because we do the water jump last. And I realized that my father is laying on the hill, and he's laying down. It's beautiful, 75 degrees. You know, we're in the pine trees. It's a pine forest. And I realized my father has fallen asleep, laying down on the hill right above the water jump. Now, Glenn, that's fine, and that's great. However, my father has fallen asleep right on the bank jump.
Oh, no.
Which
an extra
we are
obstacle
heading
on the
to.
Bank jump?
Which
jump,
we are heading
jump
to.
Jump the dad? It's appropriate for Father's Day weekend.
No, like, hey, Chad, could you could you kind of wake that up a little bit? I'm going to come right there in a second. You know, his little legs are hanging off the end of the bank jump. He's laying down. It was great. He was so comfortable. I hated to wake him up. But It was that or get jumped.
Well, we'll have to hear how Father's Day went, too, with that out there. But let's go to Jennifer first, find out what's coming up on today's show.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday, we are joined by Kirsty for our monthly United States Pony Club report. Kirsty will be telling us all about the Pacific Exchange, which has absolutely nothing to do with the stock market in Japan and everything to do with amazing horse adventures in fantastic foreign lands. I can't wait to hear about that. And as if that wasn't enough, it's the weekend roundup of news stories, adventures, gossip, and buffoonery. That's the
all right,
day,
it's time for the first. My first Daily Winnie goes out to, I think the first Daily Winnie last Monday went out to her too, Christine, our friend in Texas, who was out there shopping. She wrote us another email and said that as she drove 3.5 hours each way this morning to see a horse near Dallas, she's horse shopping for herself, she got to hear her Daily Winnie, and she said that was a lot of fun. And she says that she thinks she's found the one. And she says the one's name is Legs, apparently. And she says she potentially found the one, rather. And by that, I mean totally fell in love and overlooked every flaw she has. Well, that just makes you a horse girl there, Christine. And she's now convinced that that Jamie and I are good luck charms and great traveling companions. Well, thank you once again for bringing us along. If you buy Legs, you have to post a picture. Remember that, Christine, on our Facebook page so we can all see it. Isn't that cool?
I think that's great, and that is so ultimate horse chick to go, okay, well, here's what I don't want. And then you find a horse that has every single thing that you don't want, but you looked at it, and it's so pretty, and you fell in love with it, and you buy it. Oh, wait, let me get a vet check. Oh, it failed the vet check? I still want it.
Yeah, it's still, go away.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Well, you can fix it. It's treatable. Oh, God. Because everybody wants to start out with a lame horse.
That's right. Everybody does. But they're so cute, Jamie. They're just so cute.
It's so cute.
Second Daily Winnie goes out to Ginny Grohlke, who is the executive director of the Kentucky Horse Count. So it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Ginny. And she was the one that helped us with our Horse World Gives Back campaign, and that's the fund that the money went to. It was administered by the Kentucky Horse Council. So we appreciate their help, and happy birthday to Ginny. Do you have one there, Jamie?
I do.
Okay.
Well, and mine is a birthday wish, too. If any of you know what Net Posse is, you'll know that Net Posse is, if a horse gets stolen, they put out releases and alerts and try to get everybody reunited with their equine companions that have been stolen. And the woman who put that whole thing together, her name is Michelle Gordon, and it is her birthday. So happy birthday to Michelle Gordon from Net Posse. If you haven't signed up for Net Posse, you need to go ahead and do it because you can help your fellow horsemen out. You never know if you have a stolen horse next door. Don't go knocking on their door asking them, though.
And I think that, actually, I wanted to tell you this, too. I didn't know you were going to do that. But I think on the Western radio show this week, they have Net Posse on, and they're talking all about Net Posse. And they're on the Western radio show this week, as well as we've had them on here. But I think Alan and Tammy have them on this week as well.
So cool.
They do good work. Hey, I wanted to ask you real quick, was that your new saddle? You were your Southern Star saddle you were riding in that picture?
It certainly was. I'm going to tell you what, even my coach commented, and she is a sponsored event rider that uses another saddle, another brand. And she said that I am riding so much better with this saddle. And I am. I feel so much more, A, secure in the saddle, B, it has, like, it's a monoflap, so I feel so much closer to my horse in this event saddle. And it's got these great calf blocks and thigh blocks, so you actually kind of feel like you're stuck in your saddle a little bit better, and the material seems to be pretty tacky. So with this new saddle, Glenn, I actually feel like I can jump big fences. And I, with my last saddle, I didn't want to jump anything big because I felt insecure. So I think your tack and how it fits your horse is extremely important. And this saddle fits me and my horse just perfect. I'm absolutely in love with the Southern Stars event saddle. And that's, yes,
well,
that's a total plug because everybody should have one. Everybody should have that feeling when they jump.
And you know, just like Christine, it looks pretty, too.
It's very pretty.
Robin,
it totally is.
Robin Celeste says on Facebook, but there's this draft cross mule baby that's just too cute. I'm tempted. So she must be listening this morning. Post a picture of the. I want to see the picture of the draft cross mule baby. I want to see that.
I must tell you, Glenn, that
yes.
Chad is leaving town again, and he's getting deployed to Portland, Oregon, where they're going to be taking some F-16s up there and fighting, you know, pseudo fighting F-15s. Which is another kind of plane. So he's going up there for 2 weeks, and I spent time yesterday on Father's Day. We went to a cookout, and this cookout, we went into the barn, and there was kittens. And first of all, I'm allergic to cats.
Yeah,
you
sneezed the entire time you stayed at our house.
It doesn't matter, Glenn. I can take medicine. There was a kitten there. That was so cute, and I picked it up, and I carried it around like, you know when you can flip them on their back and carry them like a little baby? It was letting me carry it like a little baby, and I was like rubbing its tummy, and Chad is like, oh, my God, please. He goes, here's the problem. He said this to my dad. He goes, I'm going out of town next weekend for 2 weeks. And he goes, I think I'm going to come home to a kitten. Last time it was a chicken. It better not be a kitten this time.
Oh,
but at least he's understanding.
You always get an animal every time he goes away. I'd be scared, too, if I was him.
I did tell
Although
him that the next
time. Although kittens eat a lot less than horses.
They do. They do. I thought it was a lot better. He goes, I don't mind throwing some extra flakes of hay. He goes, but I ain't cleaning out a litter box. And I don't want cats that are going to poop in my house.
Oh, I go to Facebook there, Jamie. Robin posted a link to this draft mule cross baby. It's cute. It's got the big ears. It's so cute. I can see why she's tempted. Very cute.
Robin, I think you should have it.
Very cute. Hey, a couple other things. You know, happy Father's Day belated to everybody that out there who's dads. And we know we have a lot of guy listeners, so happy Father's Day to you all. And also, I don't know if I have time to talk about it in this segment, but Jennifer and I got to go see Steven Spielberg's Super 8 movie. And I'll have to tell you about that. It was fun. But first, I wanted to mention, you know, we posted over the weekend that our numbers are looking very good for the Horses in the Morning show. I believe your quote was, well, tell us what your quote was.
Well, just looking at the, and I'm so proud because, you know, we started this show from nothing and you started the Horse Radio Network from nothing. And the exponential growth that we are seeing in numbers is phenomenal. And I, like I told you, I said, this would make my boss, my radio bosses, like from Atlanta and terrestrial radio, green with envy, actually, because the exponential growth that we're having is just, well, I mean, it's unlimited potential and it's living up to it. So I'm super excited to be a part of it.
I am too. And, you know, I thought I'd go over with everybody because one of the reasons that growth exists is not only is because we can reach the world. Is, you know, when you were in your Atlanta radio, you were reaching a small segment of population around Atlanta where, you know, whatever the 50,000 watts would reach. And, you know, now because we're on the internet, we reach the world. And I wanted to go over with you the top 10 countries that listen to Horses in the Morning. And you're going to be surprised at a couple of them, I think. And we want to thank all our listeners from around the world and especially these top 10 countries. Number 10 and 9, I think everybody's going to be really surprised at. And number 10 is Bahrain over in the Middle East. And number 9 is Kuwait. So there are actually a lot of horse owners. They have horse clubs and things over there, and they do endurance riding, and that's their biggest thing that they do over there, and some jumping and things. So we have listeners in those two countries. Number 8 is Ireland, and we can thank our friends over there in Ireland, I think. I think you know who I'm talking about, you know, because
our friend Liam.
Our friend Liam, he's out there promoting for us. So good job, Liam. Number seven is China. China shows up, and I'm not sure about this one. This one shows up in every single show in the top 5 or 10 that we do. And I don't know if there's just a lot of Chinese listeners over there. I don't know why China shows up. It's kind of a mystery to me. I haven't been able to figure that one out. Number six is Sweden. And we know why, because we have Swedish friends that listen to the show, and they're out there telling everybody. We thank them for that. We picked up a large Swedish audience after the 2010 radio show. They followed our coverage of the World Equestrian Games, and they stuck with us and switched over when that show ended to Horses in the Morning. So we appreciate our Swedish listeners. And then I think the top five are probably pretty clear. Number five is New Zealand. Number four, the United Kingdom. Number three is Australia. Australia has moved up on almost every show. Australia is number two now on the Dressage Radio Show, which has a large audience. And it has overtaken the United Kingdom and Canada on the Dressage Radio Show. So Australia, we love you guys. We have a lot of Australian listeners now. And that's where Southern Star Saddlery is from, by the way, the one we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to come down there and do a show. So if he pays our way, we'd be happy to.
Australia, you know what? I'll ride my saddle all the way to Australia. I'd be happy to.
Put it right on the seat of the plane. But stewardess, I need to sit on this.
Yeah.
Look, it's tucked under my butt. That's good enough. Canada is number two and the United States number one. And it is about 80% United States for Horses in the Morning. Some of the other shows, though, United States is only at about 65%. And overseas listeners make up almost half the audience now. So it will change as time goes on for Horses in the Morning, too. Will actually, the number of United States listeners will continue to increase, but as a percentage of the whole will decrease, and we'll see. We'll see Canada and Australia and the United Kingdom and all of those picking up. But there's your top 10. Thank you to everybody who listens in all those countries.
I want to say to our listeners in Bahrain, Kuwait, I want and even China. I mean, I know Ireland's listening, but I want to get an email from you guys. We talked to Sweden. We talked to people in New Zealand, the UK, Australia, but I have not personally I have not spoken to anybody from Bahrain or Kuwait or China. So send me an email at jamie@horseradionetwork.com because I need a pen pal. I need a Bahrain pen pal or a Kuwaiti pen pal. Wouldn't that
there
be awesome?
Jamie's looking for a friend.
I'm soliciting for friends. Just in case I ever visit Kuwait, I want to know somebody there. You know, it's
there
a good idea.
It's a good idea. All right. Well, let's take a break for our title sponsor for this show, and that is Omega Alpha. And we're going to be right back after Omega Alpha. We have some fun things coming up today. We're going to be talking to Kirsty, who happened to just make a trip to one of our top five countries, to New Zealand. I want to hear all about that. And she's also a fox hunter, and she did something called the Fox Hunting Exchange this year. So I think she has a lot to talk about. And then the daily reading of Black Beauty is coming up. Don't worry. It will be here. And then the weekend roundup. We have some news stories that are wild this week. Let's just say the horse-drawn hearses are at it again. And this is, we'll be right back after this.
Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And one of their users is international Canadian sensation event rider, Jessica Phoenix. And we have Jessica on here for a second to tell us what she thinks about Omega Alpha. Well, hi, Jess. I hear that you use Omega Alpha.
I do. I love their products. I've started using them this year. And the one product that I really love is Anti-Flam. It just takes the sting out of the horse's feet and keeps them moving comfortably. And I know that from using it in our barn, a lot of horses have benefited from it.
You can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
Hey, Jamie, you want to hear something ironic and totally ironic?
Yes.
Susanna Fleur, I don't know how to say her last name, but let's just call her Susanna, posted on her Facebook page, "How do I listen to you?" And I responded and told her how to listen. And this was just 2 minutes ago. And I just looked where Susanna's from. She's from Dubai, United Arab Emirates.
No way! That's awesome. I actually have friends in Dubai. So that's awesome. I should hook them up, make them have friends to Dubai. That's cool.
I mean, isn't that ironic that we're just talking about Bahrain and Kuwait and this girl from Dubai posts at the same time? That's how small a world we live in now. And speaking of small worlds, you know, we're going to have our guest on here shortly. Once a month, we do a United States Pony Club report. And we like to hear from the Pony Clubbers about their adventures and what's going on in the world. So we're going to today, we're going to hear we're going to hear from our Pony Club rider. Sorry about that. And I think her name is Kirsty. I think that's how you pronounce that. We're going to find out here. And we're going to find out about her adventures. She is a member of the Sandia Creek Ranch Pony Club Riding Center. And good morning to Kirsty. How are you?
Great. Good morning.
Am I saying that right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. You have to speak up a little bit. You're kind of quiet, so we want to make sure everybody can hear you. So, well, good morning. You've been traveling the world, Kirsty.
Yeah, a bit. Thanks to Pony Club.
Well, now, let me ask, are you still in high school, or are you an older member of Pony Club?
I graduated last year, and I'm on a gap year this year, and I'm going to college from this next season.
Okay, good. And I said the gap year thing, too, and then never went to college. So just thought I'd mention that. And you're an HA Pony Clubber, which means you're almost at the top at this point.
Well, hopefully we'll get to the top. I'm taking my A test this summer, but we'll see how it goes.
Yay! Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
In the meantime, you decided that this side of the world wasn't much fun, so you'd go play on the other side, and you did something called the Inter-Pacific Exchange. Tell us about that.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and the kids on the exchange were fantastic. The exchange itself was a little less horsey than we had thought because of all of the quakes, but it was by far not to ever be missed. It was just amazing.
Now, what happens with the exchange? The idea is that as Pony Clubbers, you're supposed to go over there and stay with other Pony Clubbers. How does it all work?
Normally, that would be the case, but because they had such great housing accommodations offered to them, they had us all housed in, like, dorms, which, unfortunately, I found that, like, you didn't get to see as much of the culture that way, but they were really good about supplying it when we went out to different activities. We did stay one night away, and we were billeted out, they call it, and we stayed, I stayed with this lovely lady, and she raised this special breed of sheep that shed their wool, and so I got to meet a little bit, or learn a little bit more about the culture and the country that night, but yeah, usually you, like on the other exchanges I've been on, we exchange, you know, like, a couple kids go to one house and we stay there for 3 or 4 days and you just become part of the family and it's the best way to learn.
So what did you get to do? What kind of fun horsey stuff did you get to do while you were there?
We actually only rode 3 times while we were in New Zealand, but it was amazing they were able to pull that off. We rode once out of school and just had fun on goofing off on horses, which was much needed because we had gone a week without riding. And then we had the Nations Cup Show Jumping Challenge. And the day before, we drew 7 horses, and there were 5 of us, so we picked out of the 5 which ones best suited our team members. They were all fantastic horses. On that day, we had about, I think it was 45 minutes to try them. And then we did the Nations Cup on Sunday, and it was just phenomenal. It was amazing. The course was anywhere between 2.9 and 3.9, and the horses were really just class horses, and the whole course itself was phenomenal. It was just nothing like representing your country, let alone your pony club and your region and all that, at a national level.
Well, yeah, and you that must have been a blast. I can't imagine how much fun that is being in another country doing that. Now, you said about the quakes. Were you there right around the time that the quakes happened?
They were actually still having quakes on the South Island. They moved us to the North Island before the exchange started. So we had a whole week that they weren't really prepared for us because we weren't going to that island originally till the second week. But they made do. We had an amazing time. We stayed at a camp, which was kind of like a Boy Scout camp for us. It was called the Makahika, and they took us, we went on a bush hike through the Silver Fern Forest. And we hiked over this huge mountain and down into the valley where there was this river where we had lunch. And then they taught us how to make fire. And, you know, with little funny stories that we have, inside jokes. And this guy's, our guide, was holding a Dorito. And he's like, have you ever wondered what you could do with a Dorito? And we're like, not really. And he says, well, you can light it on fire. They're great fire starters. So,
really?
He taught us how to, yeah, evidently. we all had to make, we divided up into teams, and we made fires and huts and cooked hot chocolate and then ended up hiking out for the night. But it was just amazing. And it was such a dense fern forest that it seemed like it was 8 or 9 at night and it was only 2 or 3 in the afternoon. So.
I got to say
that, you know, if I'm stuck in the woods somewhere and I'm trapped and I'm, you know, I'm starving and all I have is Doritos, I'm not going to burn the Doritos. I'm going to eat the Doritos and then burn some of the pine needles that are on the ground or something like that. There has to be a better use.
Joke. Yeah, we had quite a lot of fun with that one.
I would imagine.
Now, did you guys get to, you didn't get to ride too often while you were in New Zealand. I was hoping, from what we've heard from people who have gone down there, the fox hunting is unbelievably wild down there. You didn't get to do a fox hunt, did you?
Not there, no.
Okay. But you were on something called a fox hunting exchange earlier this year, too. What was that?
That was also through the United States Pony Club. I've been on it for the last 2 years. For some reason, I was lucky to get on it this year. I won't expect that again. But it was in Ireland the year before, and in this year it was it was in Maryland and Washington, D.C. It was just phenomenal. The Ireland exchange was a small, or the Foxing exchange this year was a small group of kids. There was 5 from Ireland and 5 from the U.K., and then there was just a few of us from the States, and we all became, all the exchanges, you become really close friends with everybody, and you always stay in touch. But that group, we were all like brothers and sisters. We had all these pranks and jokes and good, clean fun that was just unheard of these days. But, yeah, we fox hunted almost every day of the exchange, and we were there for 8 days. So we were quite busy.
I was going to say, I hear that fox hunting in Ireland is unbelievable, too. You got Jennifer drooling right now, I bet.
Yeah, in Ireland, you know, I used to go on cross country and be like, oh, this is a big brush, oh, that's a big ditch. I don't say that anymore. They're quite impressive. There was this one man who fell off and got a concussion, and they just popped him back on his horse and wrote the name of the pub on his head and his arm and said, oh, he'll be fine. Said, he sure don't want me to go with him? And they're like, no, he'll be fine. So he wasn't on the exchange, of course, but it was a different kind of atmosphere, which, I mean, if I had the choice, I probably wouldn't have come home, but it was amazing.
You need to bring Jet, Jamie. You need to bring Jet over to Ireland there. That'll teach him about ditches.
It's not the horse that's afraid of ditches. It's me. So maybe I'll just go by myself. That's an amazing exchange. How cool. The horse culture, how different do you think it is than what it is here in America, and what is some of the main differences that you saw?
Well, that's the thing with one thing I really love about exchanges is you get to see not only like the country and the way of living and stuff like that, but the horses and how they're raised and how they're handled and just learn new tricks along the way. The horses over in Ireland, of course, we were dealing more with hunt horses. They were phenomenal. I mean, half the stuff we went through would have damaged our horses for good. It might be because we baby our horses too much. I don't know. But these horses were just phenomenal. They came off of a fox hunt and were ready to go again the next day. We cleaned them up real well. Just the look of them, you know, I was surprised. I was expecting some more thoroughbred-y ones, and there was quite a bit of thoroughbred, Irish thoroughbreds out there. A lot of horses I had on the Irish exchange. I rode two young steeplechase horses on the hunt because in order to steeplechase, they have to hunt a number of times back there. So it was quite fun with that. But a lot of them were these big Irish drafts that, you know, you wouldn't think could go all day long, but they sure did.
It's a great
wow.
breed.
Yeah.
So
that sounds like a blast.
So when you say we baby our horses and talk about the differences, what are some of those main differences in how we treat our horses compared to them?
Oh, you know, I mean, for starters, we don't go galloping down paved roads, and if there's black ice, we usually try to stay out of it, and they just say, look out. we had a wall combination that was up a hill, over a wall, landed on a road, went across the road, jumped off the other wall and down the other side. We wouldn't do that. and a lot of the horses, they're phenomenal. They really condition their horses well, and they look amazing. But they were out on some 2- and 3-year-olds, and we fox hunt a lot of our horses that have already tried the racing career that didn't work, and so they're a little older.
Yeah, there it sounds like it's almost just the opposite.
It quite is, which is, you know, they have sound horses when they race that way. I mean, the little filly I was on, I thought, wow, she's phenomenal. I mean, she could go any way in any kind of sport right now. She was just so versatile and easy to go with. And, you know, like here we have, okay, well, now that it's a hyped-up racehorse, what can we do with it? And there they already had a plan B for her, so.
Now, let me ask you, be honest, was there ever a time when you were fox hunting in Ireland that you were terrified?
Of course. More or less the night before the hunt's in bed. So they
More or less the entire time.
We were fox hunting one day, and I was on a tinier little guy, and they said, oh, since you're on a small guy, why don't you stay in the back? And normally you didn't want to be in the back because the footing got really bad. And they said, well, this is a lot of gate country. If you stay in the back, somebody will knock down the 5-bar gate for you. And I said, oh, I will be glued to the back. Well, sure enough, the second-to-last horse slides into the gate and pushes it upright and towards us, and the little pony is just phenomenally kicked right over it, and I was like, oh, what a good guy. But when you come to situations like that, you kind of just give the horse the reins and let it choose its own way over.
Yeah, and pray.
Exactly.
Now, let me ask you, what did they put lemonade in your flasks, or did they sneak something in there?
No, they offered port. I was too excited to have anything. I was just already on a high, so I was happy where I was.
I'm high on life.
But there was a little bit, I bet you there was a little bit of drinking going on with that particular group.
We'll put it this way. Every hunt we were at started at a bar and ended at a bar or a pub.
Tie the horses awesome. Up.
Yeah, there was, you know, we drove up and there was a pub, I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? They're like, oh, just go inside. And so I went inside the pub, and sure enough, they're all drinking. They're like, oh, this is a master, and he's drinking. I'm like, oh, nice to meet you. And then we fox hunt for, 7 or 8 hours, and we come back to the pub, and the horses go back in the lorry and back to the drinks. But they were all phenomenal. I mean, you know, as an American, they would probably get drunk and be crazy, but these guys were just so sane. It was fun.
They're used to it. They're used to drinking
yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
They're trained. Their livers are trained.
Hey, tell us how a pony clubber qualifies to go on an exchange. Is that something you apply for, or how's that work?
Each exchange is a little different. For the fox hunting exchange, you had to be a C3 rating. And for the Inter-Pacific exchange, you had to be at least a B. I think it's a minimum age of 16. And you have to be a member in good standing in Pony Club, and then you have to have recommendations. The application is honestly like filling out a college application. It is long. It's like a gazillion pages and all question and answer scenarios. If this happened, what would you do? Or in this situation, have you ever been faced with this before? And it was really a lot of applying and getting recommendation letters, and then you send it to the pony club, and they just look through and pick. For the Interpacific Exchange, we also had to send videos of us on different horses doing dressage, cross country, and show jump. But it's really, you know, just put it out there and see if you get it. And it's not something that is to be missed. So if you don't think there's a chance of getting it, like I honestly, there was no way I thought I'd get picked for the Fox Hunting Exchange in Ireland. And so I had enough convincing from my hunt master to go for it, and I did. And sure enough, I got on the team, and it was the most amazing experience ever. And, you know, if they go for it, there's at least a chance of saying you tried for it.
Well, so was one of those questions that you filled out in that long application before you went to Ireland, if they try and put port in your flask, do you take it? Was that one of the questions?
No, it wasn't, but a couple of the answers could have been answered with an answer like that.
Well, this sounds like a blast. What fun for you. And now you're taking your A, and you're actually, now that they've raised the limit to 25, you're actually a youngster taking your A.
Yeah, when you look at the roster of kids on it, you're like, oh, geez, I'm the youngest, or oh, dear. But, you know, if you get around and give it a go, you can see how it goes. And if not, there's always next year now that's 25, so.
Now, and we'll let you go after this, where is Sandia Creek Pony Club?
It's in Southern California. We're right off the ocean, so we have a nice cool breeze, but we live up in the hills, so the horses have lots of conditioning tracks.
Cool. So you event? Are you an eventer or a jumper?
I do whatever the horse likes. So we have a lot of rescues that come in. Some of them, you know, they're more like the eventing type. My thoroughbred we got as a four-year-old from the auction, and my dad just fell in love with his color, and he was colicking at the auction, so probably would be put down. So my dad said, oh, I'll take him, and, you know, we threw him out with the ponies for a few years to grow up because he looked just pathetic. And he is the most phenomenal horse. I trust him for everything. He's 20 now. But, you know, you can go on cross country and he'll save you. He knows what he's doing. But we have just this partnership that, you know, we did our first half star, and through the entire thing, he was ready to go one in more. He actually was one of the fittest horses on the course at, I think he was 17 then, and he's just one of those horses you can trust no matter what.
You know, it's Jamie was just talking about her rescue horse and how good he was over the weekend. Isn't that cool, the number of rescue stories, Jamie, that we get on this show that turn out to be super horses?
It is. It's phenomenal that we get these rescue stories that have happy endings. It's so dramatically sad how many horses need to be rescued.
Yeah, our pony club, I think it was 2 years ago, we brought in the pony club riding center is at my family's facility. And so we brought in 11 PMU mares that were on their way to the slaughterhouse, and they've all turned out to be just amazing pony club kid horses. And, you know, I mean, they're the kind of horses that, you know, if the kid wants to go show in a little hunter show, they can do hunters, or you can go play polo cross or games. I mean, they're just happy to be with you. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Kirsty, for joining us, and what fun going down south, and we're glad that you weren't involved in the earthquakes, although that was probably, being from California, you were probably went, geez, I went to there to get away from earthquakes.
Yeah, they it was funny because, you know, even though we're used to them, there I think now, because they have them so often a day, more used to them than we are, because we came into the earthquake or the airport, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, we just had an earthquake, you know, just, you know, a few hours ago. And in California, we'd still be stirring about that, but they're all great.
Well, good. Well, congratulations again. Good luck this summer. We hope you get your A. Maybe after you do that, we'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Kirsty.
Have a good day.
Well, there you go. There's Kirsty. She was very good. She could tell a story.
Yeah, I mean, well, what a phenomenal story she has to tell to be able to go over there. You know, I have a friend that is going to Ireland here in a couple weeks, and I told her, I said, now you're going to ride horses, right? And she said, oh, definitely, definitely. And I said, you're going to go fox hunting or, like, jump some fences or something? She was like, heck no, I'm not jumping anything.
Like, she's going to start at the pub. And she's going to ride to the next pub. And, you know, yes. They have pub rides over there. So
they do. I think at the end they end up being pub crawls or, you know, whatever. But, oh, I could, to go to Ireland and to be on the back of a horse would be just the epitome of a vacation. I mean, would it get any better than that, really?
Do you know they have seatbelts on the saddles for the pub rides? Did you know that?
No. Are you kidding me?
Well, they should. I don't know if they do, but they should. Maybe Liam can let us. Tonight's song is brought to you by Pocket Stable. By the way, you made a comment on Friday when we were talking about Pocket Stable, the iPhone app that's been created for horse owners to keep all the information, including vaccines and wormings and dentist visits and all that together and accessible. You made a comment that after the last update, when you go to the opening page of Pocket Stable on your iPhone, the horsey's upside down.
Uh-huh.
And then I went on mine. I got my iPod Touch, which also works, and I opened it up, and sure enough, my horsey was upside down. And then we had several people post on our Facebook page that their horses were also upside down. So I wrote to the nice lady over at Pocket Stable, and she said, oh, I got a bunch of emails this morning. So she said she's looking into why the horse is upside down at the opening page. Everything else seems to be fine. But
yeah.
She said she can't figure out why the horse ended up upside down. She said, I don't think we changed that. So she's looking into that for everybody. But you do want to check out Pocket Stable. Apparently, a lot of our listeners have bought it. It's $3.99. It's less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. And this will save you time. You won't have to keep track of those little tiny receipts that you always get to figure out when your next worming is or your next farrier visit and that kind of thing. I know that that's what we always had to do. You always had to go digging through receipts. When does that due again? And time flies, so you're always amazed at how quickly the farrier comes up or worming mm-hmm. or things like that. So with the Pocket Stable app, you solve all those problems by keeping track of it right on your iPhone. And you can find that in the App Store on your iPhone or visit them at PocketStable.com. Well, I was trying to think of a song for today, and I was thinking, well, Clayton Fredericks is from Australia, and that's really close to New Zealand. That's how far I was stretching to do
that. Wait. Why don't you say Clayton came in third or fifth place this weekend in the German horse trial. So play his
song. Oh, that's even better.
Lumelin, or whatever it was. I think he ended up in fifth.
All right. Well, then, for Clayton's fifth place, we'll play his song, Will to Win.
When you know that you got what it takes, what a difference a feeling makes. And when everyone's dreaming the dream, then you've got the will to win.
Yeah.
Clayton Fredericks Will to Win. Yes, that is the Clayton Fredericks. That is the eventer, won Rolex a couple years ago. You know, he actually made Southern Star Saddlery. He invented the saddle, designed it. The guy has more talent than you can believe. And then he came in fifth place this past weekend at Lumelin. We couldn't figure out how to say it. It's a German horse.
That German place.
That place in Germany where they had all the horses. So congrats to him, and thanks for playing that song, because it's much like the Zenyatta song. It gets stuck in your head. You will be singing, you've got the will to win. You've got the... You'll have it in your head all day long, and you can thank Glenn and Clayton for that.
Had nothing to do with it. I just hit the button. Speaking of playing, are you ready?
Wait, hold on. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, sponsored by Omega Alpha today. So thank you very much. Now hit it.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 11, Plain Speaking. The longer I lived at Birtwick, the more proud and happy I felt at having such a place. Our master and mistress were respected and beloved by all who knew them. They were good and kind to everybody and everything, not only men and women, but horses and donkeys, dogs and cats, cattle and birds. There was no oppressed or ill-used creature that had not a friend in them, and their servants took the same tone. If any of the village children were known to treat any creature cruelly, they soon heard about it from the hall. The squire and Farmer Gray had worked together, as they said, for more than 20 years to get bearing reins on the cart horses done away with, and in our parts we seldom saw them. But sometimes if mistress met a heavily laden horse with his head strained up, she would stop the carriage and get out and reason with the driver in her sweet, serious voice and try to show him how foolish and cruel it was. I don't think any man could withstand our mistress. I wish all ladies were like her. Our master, too, was used to come down very heavily sometimes. I remember he was riding me towards home one morning when we saw a powerful man driving towards us in a light pony chase with a beautiful little bay pony with slender legs and a high-bred, sensitive head and face. Just as he came to the park gates, the little thing turned towards them. The man, without a word or warning, wrenched the creature's head round with such a force and suddenness that he nearly threw it on its haunches. Recovering itself, it was going on when he began to lash it furiously. The pony plunged forward, but the strong, heavy hand held the pretty creature back with force almost enough to break its jaw, whilst the whip still cut into him. It was a dreadful sight for me, for I knew what fearful pain it gave that delicate little mouth, but my master gave me the word, and we were up with him in a second. "Sawyer," he cried in a stern voice, "is that pony made of flesh and blood?" "Flesh and blood and temper," he said. "He's too fond of his own will, and that won't suit me." He spoke as if he was in a strong passion. He was a builder who had often been to the park on business. "And do you think," the master said sternly, "that treatment like this will make him fond of your will? He had no business to make that turn. His road was straight on," said the man roughly. "You have often driven that pony up to my place," said the master. "It only shows the creature's memory and intelligence. How did he know that you were not going there again? But that has little to do with it. I must say, Mr. Sawyer, that more unmanly, brutal treatment of a little pony was never my painful lot to witness. And by giving way to such passions, you injure your own character as much, nay, more, than you injure your horse. And remember, we shall all have to be judged according to our works, whether they be towards man or towards beast." Master rode me home slowly, and I could tell by his voice how the thing grieved him. He was just as free to speak to gentlemen as those things below him. For another day when we were out, we met Captain Langley, a friend of our master's. He was driving a pair of splendid grays in a kind of break. After a little conversation, the captain said, "What do you think of my new team, Mr. Douglas? You know you are the judge of horse in these parts, and I should like your opinion." The master backed me a little so as to get a good view of them. "They are an uncommon handsome pair," he said, "and if they are as good as they look, I'm sure you need not wish for anything better. But I see you got a hold of that pet scheme of yours for worrying about your horses and lessening their power." "What do you mean?" said the other. "The bearing reins? Oh, I know that's a hobby of yours. Well, the fact is, I like to see my horses hold their heads up. So do I, said the master, as well as any man, but I don't like to see them held up. That takes all the shine out of it. Now, you're a military man, Langley, and no doubt like to see your regiment look well on parade. Heads up and all that, but you would not take much credit for your drill if all your men had their heads tied to a backboard. It might not be much harm on parade except worry and fatigue them, but how would it look to be a bayonet charge against the enemy when all they want the free use of every muscle and all their strength thrown forward? I would not give much for the chance of victory. And it is just the same with horses. You fret and worry their tempers and decrease their power. You would not let them throw their weight against their work so that they have too much to do with their joints and muscles, and of course it wears them up faster. You may depend on it, horses were intended to have their heads free as men's are. And if we could act a little more according to common sense and a good deal less according to fashion, we should find many things work easier. Besides, you know as well that I, that if a horse makes a false step, he has much less chance of recovering himself if his head and neck are fastened back. And now, said the master, laughing, I have given my hobby a good trot out. Can you make up your mind to mount him too, Captain? Your example would go a long way. I believe you're right in theory, said the other, and I think it's a rather hard hit about the soldiers. But, well, I'll think about it. And so they parted. That was the end of Chapter 11. Tomorrow, Chapter 12, A Stormy Day. And tomorrow, and the stormy day is a do not miss.
Does our friend have to be ready? Does Tom have to be ready?
No, this is the one tomorrow is one of my favorite chapters ever. But I do want to let you know something, that I've been reading this book out loud, and my husband usually walks around the back. Well, this past weekend, I took the clippers out to get Jet ready, and I clipped his bridle path, and I clipped his, you know, his little muzzle whiskers, and Chad's like, why do you clip those? I said, it looks pretty. He goes, don't they need those, the little whiskers? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't trim the eye ones, but he goes, don't they need the muzzle whiskers? And I said, it's no big deal. I just trim them, and they grow back. He goes, haven't you been paying attention to Black Beauty? It is all about fashion with you, I
you
swear.
You go, Chad.
I was like, guilty. I am totally guilty. He has to be fashionable for the horse show.
You go, Chad. Ah, the outdoors husband. We know sometimes. Hey, you caused quite a stir in the driving community last week when you talked about overchecks and things. What did he call them? What do they call them in the story?
Bearing reins.
Yes. So now the word has gotten out. There were emails that went around, and Sterling Grayburn is going to come on with us this week to talk about the proper use of overchecks. And I think Jamie, I think we may have lost her, actually. Yes, I think we did. Jamie went away.
Giving us the silent treatment.
Yeah, she said, see, all of a sudden, see, now we start calling her on something because she causes a stir in the community, and then she disappears.
Yeah.
So she'll be calling us back here shortly.
We lost her.
I can't believe that was good timing, wasn't it? So we're going to – it was interesting how that happened. Somebody listened to the show, and then the word got out that we were talking about it, and Jamie was busting on it, and, you know, then it was like – this whole big, long decision about who was going to... Jamie, are you back?
I am back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it was interesting how when I talked to... it was just at the moment when I said, and you caused quite a stir in the driving community, that you disappeared. You were gone. So
okay,
what happened was,
sorry,
last week when you were talking about bearing reins or overchecks, some of the members of the driving community heard that, and there's some emails that went out and back and around about who was going to come on our show to talk about the proper use of overchecks and why they're used. So look for that this week. I think Sterling's going to come on our show this week to defend the drivers out there. And, Jennifer just typed, so don't cause this curse in the driving community or you may disappear.
Listen, obviously, Sterling is such a horseman, and these people in this book are not horsemen. Obviously, there must be a use for it. I cannot wait to learn more about it and understand. And I'm sure that in 1877, the bearing reins, as they called them then, were much too tight and much inappropriately used. So yeah. I'm excited to talk to some of your driver friends and find out just why the heck you tie your horse's heads up.
Okay, there we go. That's good. That's a good answer because we certainly don't want you to disappear. And that's really interesting after we watched that movie Super 8, which is why Jennifer probably said that, because that's still in her brain about why everybody in town was disappearing. And we'll talk more about that probably tomorrow, but today it's time for...
It's time for the Weekend Roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
Every Monday at this time, we do the Weekend Roundup, where we go over the news stories from the weekend, some serious, some not so serious, and some just plain wacky. And we have some of those for you today. We have some good ones today. So we're gonna go over those with you right now. And I think that, why don't you start with this amazing lady, 10,000 miles on horseback.
Now, when you say amazing, she definitely is amazing, but she's also incredibly crazy. This woman decided to ride from, let's see, where did she start out at? She wanted
she started
to be
at
a
the
four
end,
year...
At the
at
end
where?
Of the Great Wall in China.
Yeah, she wanted to ride from the Beijing Olympics all the way to the start of the 2012 Games in London. That's way far. She started her trek in October of 2008 from the end of the Great Wall of China and then has covered now 5,000 miles, already 5,000 miles across deserts and mountains, the steppes of Asia. In China, she suffered a three-month delay because she fell from her horse. She has run into, let's see, scorpions and snakes, attacks from wild stallions. She broke her ribs. She broke her collarbone, all to be part of this epic 10,000-mile ride. She has crossed over Kazakhstan. She's home for a little while to organize her next leg across Russia and the Ukraine. Okay, first of all, these are not like super friendly. It's not like you're, you know, riding across somebody's yard in Tennessee and you're like, howdy, neighbor. And they're like, howdy, how's it going? You're going through like the Middle East. I mean, these are not super happy, fun places, okay, at all. So this woman is, and she's also doing it to try to raise money for her husband's. Yeah, she's married. This guy is letting her do this, or encouraging her. He's got a charity called School Children for Children. That's the name of her husband's charity. So, good luck to her. Her name
she
is Megan
three
Lewis.
Three kids of her own.
She's crazy. It's got to be dangerous and crazy and good for her for doing this crazy, dangerous thing.
You know, she says here that she's carrying a message of goodwill from Beijing to London for delivery in the Olympic year. You know, there's like phones. You could just call it in. Hello?
Email,
we wish you good luck.
Text.
Good luck, London.
Yeah, good for her. I think you're nuts. But all right, good for you.
Well, anybody that is over probably, I would say, 40 years old knows that there was one place that you bought tack from 20, 30 years ago, and that's the place you went. It was mail order catalog, and you looked forward to getting it. Do you know which one I'm talking about? It was the catalog that number of years ago, Jamie. You might be too young to even know that.
Too young.
Too young.
I'll take the too young on anything you say. I'm too young.
Miller's Harness was the place you went, and they were known as the place to go. They were the, you know, the Dover and the Smart Pack of the day. And you just went to Miller's when you needed something. And Joseph Miller, who his dad was actually the one that started the harness shop in the center of Manhattan when back in the day when they were still using horses for everything, he was the one that was making harnesses. So this harness shop, Miller's Harness Shop, actually started in the center of Manhattan. So Joseph Miller's father was the one that started it, and then Joseph took over the family business. Well, he died over the weekend. He was 93 years old, and he was the one responsible for that all the way up to, I think it was 1975 that he was responsible for that. And then in 1975, Miller's Harness was sold out and went on from there. But there was actually a Miller's Harness store in Manhattan all that time.
Wow.
Yeah, still open all that time. And they were known, after it got going in the 30s, after the Depression, they actually had five floors on this building in Manhattan where they manufactured the harness. That's how big they got. And they actually had suppliers in England, Germany, Argentina, Japan, and India also. So that's Miller's Harness. That's going to bring back a lot of memories for a lot of the older folks like me out there who bought from Miller's Harness.
Can you imagine 93 years old working in a harness shop in Manhattan, the changes that he saw? I mean, you got to think about, like, I mean, just in the past 10 years, the amount of changes, 20 years. But think about your lifespan of 93 years in Manhattan had to be just fascinating, just absolutely fascinating. And then, you talked about catalogs, and that reminded me of being a kid, Glenn. And, you know, you've got $20 allowance, you know, that you earned from raking the yard. So here's 20, and you put it with the rest of your money, and you figured, okay, I've got $67. And you would get the catalog out, and you would actually have to find the pages of the things you wanted, write down that little number. Remember the little number on the side?
Yep,
and you have to fill that into the little slots, and then you don't want to mess up because then you get the wrong thing. And then you had to write the price out next to it. And then you had to actually mail it in with a check.
That's right.
I remember all that.
That is correct. There is a day when we had to use a stamp. Stamps were very important to get to your products. And, you know, that was the day, too. They really didn't want you calling in. They wanted you to mail the order form in. Do catalogs still put order forms in?
That's a great question.
Jennifer,
have one
you look at the catalogs all the time. Do they still put order forms in?
A lot of them do, yes. A lot of them still. A lot of them don't put a proper order form in there. They just put the information there that you can use. But I know the big guys, all the giant size companies that send the 300-page catalogs out, still put an old-fashioned paper order form in them. Yeah.
We need to talk to somebody from one of those companies and find out if anybody actually uses those anymore.
If anybody sends in paper order forms anymore?
Yeah,
they probably
the
get it.
Part,
they're like, oh, my God.
The sad part is now the Miller Harness Company catalog is like 10 pages.
Yeah, it's been sold so many times at this point.
Yeah, it's just teeny-weeny now. But it's still there. The little L's shaped like boots, they're still there.
See, Jennifer has fond memories ordered from the Miller's catalog.
I don't know if I ever could afford to order anything from it, but boy, it was page-worn and tattered by the end of the year because you just read it all the time.
That's crazy. Well, hey, another news story to keep you guys up to date on. I don't know if y'all heard about this or now because you're in Kentucky. Churchill Downs, which is obviously the home of the Kentucky Derby, this past weekend held its first ever Arabian horse race. They
had
a $50,000 president of the United Arab Emirates Cup, the UAE, the first Arabian horse race in Churchill Downs history was this past weekend. So, you know, lots of horses that I've never heard of, like Grilla and Dixie Valentine and Fred Texas was second to Grilla in their last three straight. Apparently, there is a large contingency of Arabian horse races here in the U.S., and it came to Churchill Downs this past weekend. If anybody was at that or saw it, I want to know about it. Call us, let us know, 347-637-3238, or post about it on our Facebook page. That'd be awesome to find out.
Do you know, are they faster than thoroughbreds? I would imagine not.
It says in this article, as a rule of thumb, a good question, I just happen to have the answer right here. As a rule of thumb, Arabians run about 10 seconds per mile slower than thoroughbreds.
Ooh,
I wish I knew
difference.
That off the top of my head. Yeah, that is kind of a big difference. But I don't know how long the race. Oh, it was a mile and a quarter. So
You know, it wasn't tremendously long.
Huh.
You know?
Interesting. I didn't realize that they even did Arabian racing like that. I know they use them endurance because they go a long time, but I didn't know they did speed stuff with them. There you go.
You know, I watched Hidalgo last night. It was on AMC, so I watched a lot of Arabian horse racing last night.
How do you get 12 Arabians into the start gates, my question? Just saying.
How does somebody handicap that? You know, like, this horse is going to go off at 8-5 because it's raced before. I don't know how you handicap that. I guess there must be some, like, follower of Arabian horse racing. Cool. Good for you.
All right. It's time for Glenn's High Horse. I wish I had a bumper for that, but I don't. So in Spain, they've had a decision now that they're going to ban pony rides at fairs and all kinds of festivals. You know, you go to the church and they have the pony ride. They're banning that because of they claim that the ponies are routinely overworked. Now, some of the pony rides we see around here, the ponies look fat and lazy. I don't think they look overworked at all. But apparently that's the case in Spain. And the irony that I see here is these are people that bullfight. They run bulls through the street, and we're complaining they stick spears in bulls, for everybody's pleasure. And we're complaining that the pony has to do one too many pony rides? It's Spain, for God's sake. By the way, they're not on a list of top 10, are they?
No, you're good.
Okay, good. I'm good. So that's my complaint there is, first of all, and the other complaint I have is that's where a lot of little girls get their first exposure to the horse craziness is a pony ride. If they don't get those pony rides, are we going to have a lot less little girls horse crazy? I don't know. So I'm just saying, Spain, maybe you ought to get rid of the stick and spears and bulls before you worry about the pony rides.
Now, can I just take a little bit of a different side of that?
No.
No. Okay. You got to think, okay, it's Spain, the country that runs bulls through streets and sticks spears in them. If they think these pony rides are bad, so bad that they need to ban them, how bad do you think these pony rides are? I mean, if they're sticking spears in bulls and thinking that's okay, and then these pony rides must be horrible. Can you imagine the conditions if sticking bulls with knives is okay?
See, this is that slippery slope that we talked about when we talked about the carriage rides in cities, you know, and then we had that little disagreement on the carriage rides in cities. This is the slippery slope. Then it goes to pony rides, and then it goes to, oh, you're not allowed to ride your horses across country on the cross-country course, and then it's just a slippery slope. That's all I'm saying. Just saying. That's my
however,
horse of the day.
I understand that the pony rides are awesome for kids, but what she says in this article is it is not the activity in itself that is the problem, but the condition in which the ponies are made to work. So keep in mind that, you know, it's not that they want to ban pony rides. They want to ban this pony ride. So these ponies might be in really deplorable conditions, and I'm sorry that I'm trying to knock you off your high horse, but it could be really, really bad, and they're doing a good thing. So just think of it that way. Whatever. I'm sorry.
Right.
You're right.
You go
it's
now.
Terrible.
It's your turn.
Don't ban ponies. I'm going to get fired. Happy story. How about this? Plantation Field donates $8,000 to Boyd Martin's True Prospect fire victims, his farm. And Jane Sleeper, who we've actually already mentioned today, Jennifer, I need you to turn your mic on because I want to find out something. You worked for Jane Sleeper, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so was she an amazing cook? Because Jane Sleeper held a bake sale, and raised $2,000.
For some reason, I can't picture
selling.
Jane slaving over a hot oven.
You know? That's what I'm saying, is she must be amazing to raise $2,000 in a bake sale sells things for like 50 cents. I mean, my God. How do you raise $2,000?
Yeah, well, you know, when Jane tells you to do something, you do it. So she probably stood there at the bake sale and said, you are going to buy this cupcake. And then you just do it.
Okay, pretty much, you don't argue with Jane.
That's great. Yeah, Jane Sleeper says
$12 for that
it.
Cupcake, and you're going to buy it, or you should see how I'm going to do your lesson next week.
You're just going to get the cupcake. That's
I think
awesome.
It's fantastic. Yeah, that's I think awesome. It's fantastic that $8,000 Plantation Field donated, $2,000 for Jane Sleeper's bake sale, where she apparently shoved cupcakes down your throat, whether you liked it or not. And I got to tell you that reading a little bit about this, first of all, Philip Dutton, who is the owner of the farm that had the fire, him and his wife, Evie, refused every donation. They say every single donation needs to go to Boyd Martin, replacing him and all of his grooms who lost everything. They say we don't need donations. We are not accepting them. Insurance will cover our fire losses. We want all the money to go towards replacing personal possessions and equipment not covered by insurance for Boyd. And this includes the loss of his training income, $15,000 in vet bills, $15,000 in vet bills because of this fire, $90,000 worth of goods, including hay and grain, blankets, boots, saddles, other equipment. And what Boyd said is you don't realize how much is missing until you need it. They went to Plantation Fields horse trials held the weekend before the fundraiser, and they realized after they got off cross country that they didn't have any boots or any wraps to wrap their horses' legs. They just didn't even realize that they had no boots. Because when you run a horse cross country, you bandage them afterwards for support. He's like, we didn't even realize we didn't even have those until we needed them. So, you know, it's really important that donations keep coming into them, and good for Plantation Fields and for Jane Sleeper raising $10,000.
Good job. Good job, guys. And now I think it's time for me to be humbled when my wife actually has a story to read.
We're picking on you today. Sorry.
I know.
Oh, Jennifer. Well, I just wanted to point out, because Glenn, the original softy, always has difficulty with Beaker, the original plump pony, wearing his muzzle. Because he has to wear
a shirt. I posted a picture of Beaker on Facebook, so all the new listeners will be able to see him. So go to our Facebook page, and you'll be able to see who we're talking about, my pony.
Your pony.
Jennifer's nice pony.
Well, he wears a muzzle almost all year round, because he's just a natural butterball. And we've gotten some actual research now. Research, science, facts. Presented at the Equine Science Society Symposium in Nashville, Tennessee. How did we miss that? They took a bunch of ponies, and they put the muzzles on them, and they put them out to pasture. And this is how they did it. This is the funniest part. They weighed the ponies before they grazed each day, and then they weighed the ponies after they grazed each day, taking into account the weight of past manure and urine. So if they had to take into account the weight of it, that means they had to collect it and weigh it with the pony.
There's a job, Jamie.
I'm going to be applying for that soon.
I'm just envisioning these ponies, you know, like, really? I had to do that? But what I thought was really interesting is they found that, and I think Beaker's like this, he spends more time grazing than the horses who don't wear muzzles. But because the muzzle has that little hole in it, they get so little while they are grazing, they still end up in the long run consuming less. They found that horses that are, their weight is maintained by limiting the amount of time on a pasture, learn to sort of gorge themselves. So they eat a lot faster, and they're actually not getting the full benefit of the limited grazing.
That goes along with when I grew up with having three brothers. You had to eat fast. Jennifer picks on me for eating fast all the time. You had to eat fast because if you wanted any seconds at all, you had to be the first one done and grabbing those seconds, or you weren't going to eat again till the next meal.
You had to fight for it.
That's right. Same thing with the ponies. If you're only going to give them an hour to eat, they know damn well they got to gorge.
Yep. Yep. And Beaker can graze faster than any other horse I've met.
He does.
And believe me, I've met a lot of horses. I don't think
he is like
a freaking
lawnmower. You hand graze that horse, and he's like a lawnmower. It's unbelievable how fast he eats. He learned that from me. state test.
Maybe he had a lot of siblings.
So this actually, this study says that grazing muzzles can reduce the pasture intake of ponies by more than 80%.
Yep.
So that's quite significant. Frankie, are you listening? Just saying. I got to put muzzle on mine.
Yeah, keep your muzzle on your horse, and we'll definitely get one in the mail to Little Popcorn. I'm sure he'll be thrilled.
Hey, I have one more story. I've been teasing it all day, and we have to go. So last week, remember, was it in Black Beauty that they had a hearse story? A horse-drawn hearse mentioned in Black Beauty last week? And then we've had a couple hearse stories. Oh, yeah, it was, because remember the hearse fell over and the horses died and we had to add it to the carnage count? Well, this was in Middletown, actually Delaware, and they have this parade, and every year it's a very nice parade. Everybody comes out and watches. Well, this year they had a horse-drawn hearse, of all things. We get a lot of hearses right now. And they had a horse-drawn hearse, of all things, and sure enough, pulled by a pair of Clydesdales. Let me read this. As the horses approached the intersection of Broad and West Main Streets, they were spooked about 12:15 p.m. and began barreling directly toward about 100 people gathered at the intersection where the parade route turned right onto Main Street. They were coming right at us, said Tina Finch, a Middletown resident watching the parade with her two daughters. I didn't know what to do. I was terrified. As the 2,000-pound horses charged toward the frightened onlookers, Douglas, the driver, tried to rein him in, but apparently his reins got caught, and he couldn't pull.
Reins
got caught on something else. And then he was able, apparently, to get him turned down Main Street, where they kept barreling down the street. He was trying to apply the brakes, but that, you know, you can push that brakes all day. You got 4,000 pounds pulling a carriage, ain't going to stop. And they came to a screeching halt as they ran into a parked car. The driver and his cohort went flying off and apparently were got a gash in his head and stuff. Everybody was okay. Horses lived, but let me just say that was the most exciting parade that has ever been held in Middletown, Delaware. You know the most amazing part of this story, Jamie? It was Delaware, not England.
Yeah, but you know, Glenn, it doesn't matter where you are. When you see two Clydesdales barreling down at you, you better run like hell.
Yes. Get out of the way.
Get out of the way. Well, this has been really a fun show, Glenn. I got to let you know that I have to head to the airport because, sadly, I have to take my father home. He has been with me since Friday, or Thursday, actually, and hanging out with us all weekend long. This is how great he is. It's Father's Day weekend, and what does he do? He comes up to Flagstaff to watch me ride cross-country. So I would love for you to be able to talk to my dad for a second because I know you love listening to him.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
so
that'd be terrific.
I'm going to hand over my headphones and put them on the microphone. I only have one of each, so he's going to talk to you for a second. Okay. You know, here, I'll go left ear. Say hello.
Hey, Dad, how are you?
Glenn, I'm doing good, buddy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. So let me ask, you know, I've been a horse husband for a long time. You've been a horse dad for a long time. Do you still get a little nervous when you see your daughter out there jumping big jumps on a wacko thoroughbred?
Well, let me tell you the truth, and she knows this. For the first 10 years, I refused to watch her jump. I just let her go and do a thing, and I'd be sitting by the truck or something waiting on her. I could not watch her, but I watched her some this weekend, and she's pretty doggone good. So it just tickled me to death. She's good.
Yeah, you know, it is fun.
It was a pleasure.
It does get more fun the longer you go and the better they get. When you're first watching them, when they're just learning and they're falling off all the time, ain't much fun.
No, that was awful. I did not see her jump for many, many years. It just scared me to death. I would take her out there and sit and just wait on her. So, but no, she's, like I said, I don't mean to sound redundant, but she's really good. I enjoyed it very much. Yeah.
Well, terrific. And it must have been pretty special for you to be able to spend Father's Day out there with her, too.
It was. Just spending any time with my daughter, truth is, it broke my heart, of course, when she moved away from Atlanta. But she was the one child that would come to the house and we'd sit on the porch and we'd talk or we'd go somewhere and grab a bite to eat. That was always fun. She would do it for no reason. Her brothers, she got two brothers, they still come over, but they need to borrow money or borrow the pressure washer, of which I never see again. So it's not quite the same. I just miss my little girl.
That's what sons are for.
And they're very good at it. In fact, I'm glad they're not any better than they are. So, yes. But
well,
it was fun.
Happy Father's Day, I wanted to say, too. And, you know, I enjoy talking to your daughter. You know, we pick on each other a lot. And I think some new listeners sometimes think we don't like each other because we pick at each other. But, you know, we both get up every morning looking forward to chatting with each other and miss it when we don't get to.
I know that she thinks you hang the moon. So anybody that doesn't think y'all like each other is incorrect. But bless your heart.
Dad said.
Oh, no. Hey, listen, my friend, God bless and have a great, and I enjoy listening to y'all banter back and forth, you know, when I figure out how to get it on my phone. which is not every day. I'm not literate in that way.
Well, thank you so much, and you have a great trip back.
Hey, thank you, my friend, and God bless, and here's my daughter.
Okay.
I don't know what he's talking about. I didn't hear a word of that.
I thought he was going to have you crying there.
I'm not too squishy, Glenn. You know I'm hardcore.
Well, this has been fun, everybody. Thank you so much for letting me talk to you. I love that accent. He's the greatest accent in the world.
According to him, it's no accent. We're the ones that talk funny. That's what he says.
did you find it coming out a little bit over the weekend?
Oh, Lord. You know, it is definitely true. When you start talking to your daddy, you start, talking a little bit southern.
Well, and apparently you're the best daughter in the world, so that was
a
good compliment. You can listen to all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. Don't forget that you can subscribe in iTunes. It's the easiest way to listen to the show. If you can't listen to it live, you can just subscribe in iTunes. It'll be automatically downloaded to your iPod or your iPhone or your MP3 player, whatever you hook up to iTunes. And then you can listen to the recorded version. That's how a lot of our listeners, including our Texas horse shopper, Christine, that's how she listens. You can do that. It's so easy to do. Just go to our website at horsesinthemorning.com and click on the iTunes link or just do a search in iTunes Store. You'll find us there. And also, we are on Twitter at Horse Radio.
If you missed the live show, go download it in all those millions of ways that Glenn just told you. Apparently, I'm getting a lesson in the bearing rein at some point this week. What do you guys call the bearing rein?
An overcheck.
Check rein? An overcheck. The bearing rein. I'll get a lesson on that this week, and we'll continue our Black Beauty. We are on Chapter 12 tomorrow. You do not want to miss Chapter 12. Those of you know, a stormy day. For those of you who've read it, it's like one of the most exciting. And it should show you how smart horses are. So, goodbye, everybody. I'm headed to the airport. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody, and don't forget, I think Cowboy Chris is up this week, who's making his ride to Washington, D.C., so we have him coming on as well. Lots of good stuff. Have a good day. Wear your helmets. Be safe.